Welcome to Talk Healthy to Me. I'm your host, Brinley Joyner, and on this podcast, we chat about living healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives. From fitness to relationships to business, we really cover it all. Let's get into it. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode, I am so pumped to dive straight in because we are going to be talking about taking responsibility of your life. This is probably one of the most important lessons I have ever learned and that I'm continuing to learn. And honestly, I just wish that I had this advice and knew this when I was 15 or 16 years old. So I guess we'll start with, what does it actually mean to take responsibility of your own life? And for me, that means I am not dependent on someone else for my happiness, for my joy, for my health, for my well-being. I'm not putting that responsibility or that role on someone else. I'm actually finding that in myself. And I know maybe some of you are thinking, well, Brinley, you have a husband. Like, doesn't he bring you joy and all those things? Which is so true. Love Lucas to death. He is so incredible and he brings me so much joy, so much happiness, so much laughter. But what I'm saying and the point of this episode is that even if I didn't, or before I had a husband, I'm content and confident in myself, and I am in charge of my own happiness and my own well-being, and that is my responsibility, and I'm taking charge of that. That's the mindset we're talking about here. And then any relationship or friendship or environmental factor that comes in can just be an amazing cherry on top. And what's cool with relationships, and what I've realized in our 3 years of marriage, is that when you're not placing that role of, you have to provide my happiness for me, like you're in charge of that for me, when you're not placing that role on them that they were never meant to carry, you can actually learn to enjoy them so much more because you are content and fulfilled and you don't have this massive hole that you're just asking them to come in and like fill that void in you. You're already solid, you're already whole, and then they're just an added beautiful bonus to your life. So I have 5 points that I want to talk about on how you can take responsibility of your own life and really show up for yourself in this way. So the first one is to prioritize your health and well-being. That is physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, relationally, all of it. And I feel like this is kind of a given. You're like, yeah, I could have guessed that one, but it's so true, you guys. When you are lacking in one area of your life, it really affects all the others. And by lacking, I mean just not putting in the work and the time and the effort for yourself in those areas. So within this little category, make time for movement. I think exercise is one of those areas where it is so easy to make excuses for why we don't have time for a workout, why we shouldn't work out today, why we shouldn't go on a walk, why we shouldn't do a stretch. Like, that is just so easy for us as humans to make an excuse for and get out of and kind of like justify it in our head. I don't know why, but this is a huge one. If you want to take responsibility of your life and one of your goals is to be a healthy person and a person that can go walk and play with kids and jump and climb and dance and not get tired and not feel like they need a nap after, that is a goal that you should be actively pouring into daily with some type of movement. It doesn't have to be a crazy gym session. It doesn't have to be an hour long, you know, group fitness class. It can be 30 minutes. It can be 20 minutes, 10, whatever. It can be a slow walk. It can be a surf. It can be a dance class. It can be anything at all. But by just choosing yourself and getting your body moving on the daily, you are taking responsibility for your life physically, but also kind of mentally too, because we all know that when you're in movement, it benefits your mind too. It benefits your stress levels, the thoughts in your head, your creativity, your hormones, your blood sugar level. It has such a crazy good impact on all parts of you, really. And I feel almost kind of guilty talking about this because part of my job is an online trainer and a fitness influencer, whatever you want to call it. And I have a lot of time on my hands to go into the gym and to work out because it is such a huge part of my job. I kind of have to. So I feel like I'm saying all this with a privilege. And that's why I feel a little bit guilty about it. But I can assure you that it hasn't always been like that for me. Like, there's been a time when I was just a college student and I was busy and I had a social life and I had to make time for those workouts. And I definitely had a ton of excuses and skipped out on a lot of workouts and stuff, but I always just felt so good when I showed up and I did the thing. And so I know if you're listening to this and you're a mom or you're a school teacher or you're a student or you have something in your life that makes it a little bit harder to get to the gym or to work out, but you know deep in your heart it is a goal for you to be consistent in movement, I just encourage you to start small and you can break up your workouts. That was a huge thing for me as a student. If I didn't have time to go to the gym for an hour to an hour and a half, I would go on a walk for 30 minutes and then I would do a 30-minute weight session also. So you can break it up and you can do it at different times in the day. You got to find something that works for you, and what works for you might not work for everyone else, but finding something you can stick to is definitely the way to go. And just know you'll go through different seasons. You might be bogged down on time right now and only have time for 30-minute workouts, but the next season in your life, you might have time for a lot longer than that, and that's okay. So just going with whatever works for you and whatever you can actually stay consistent with is so much more important than like coming up with this perfect gym plan and following it and then not being able to follow it and then getting discouraged. So yeah, figure out what works for you, stay consistent with that. And the same goes with nutrition and mental health too. Well-being, I think, is a combination of all of those, maybe even a few more things, but mainly your physical, your mental, and then nutritional stuff. So the same thing, figure out what works for you nutritionally, whether it's meal prepping or prepping just a couple sides and throwing together salad bowls. Do what you gotta do to feel your best, because you know what it feels like when you actually make those choices. You feel amazing after, and just know that that's available to you every single day if you choose it. And I'm not saying perfection. I'm not saying perfection at all, but I'm saying just efforts and small steps towards creating a maintainable lifestyle that just truly feels good from the inside out. Okay, the next one is regular self-reflection. This is kind of a hard pill to swallow because self-reflection can be really uncomfortable at first. It forces you to kind of just sit with yourself and yeah, reflect on your thoughts, your actions, what you said you were going to do versus what you actually did, checking in on your patterns, whether they're good or bad, checking in on how you manage your stress, just reflection over really anything that can impact you. And why I think this is a big point of taking responsibility of your life is because with self-reflection, it gives you the opportunity to check in and say, what am I doing that's working for me? And what am I doing that's not working for me? And let's adjust course every now and again if we need to. And so with self-reflection, I think the biggest thing in this is you want to go in with compassion for yourself. It's pointless and almost destructive if you go into self-reflection with a lack of compassion, because it can really just break down your self-esteem and break down how you feel about yourself and can let a lot of like negative thoughts and emotions come in. So you want to go into this with like, hey, I will have compassion and gentleness for myself, but I am going to sit here for a second and just think about my week and think about my day and think about if there's anything that I did that maybe didn't reflect what I actually wanted to do or what my morals are, and see how I can change that going forward, because I have so much compassion for myself and I really know that I am valuable and worth living to my highest potential. So we're going to adjust course if we need to. What self-reflection shouldn't be like is you sitting down and just thinking so negatively about every little thing and overanalyzing every little thing and only negative thoughts and emotions coming in. That's not it. It's a balance between the beneficial and the not beneficial things that you've maybe been doing in your life. So I'll give you an example in my life. For me, a huge part of my self-reflection, because I have a very sensitive stomach and I've been a troubled gut health girly for years now. So for me, part of my self-reflection is sitting down and thinking like, okay, what days this week did my stomach feel very uncomfortable, or was I having flare-ups where I felt kind of bloated and just that not good, like inflamed feeling? And I'll think about maybe what could have led to that, whether it was a food that I ate, something I drank, a type of workout I did, maybe it was a new product I've been trying out, anything that could lead to that. And I will reflect on just like what made me feel good and what made me not feel good that week with my gut issues. And if you haven't heard parts of my story, I basically have gut issues because I went on this mission trip many years ago, but I was gone for a while and I got a bunch of parasites and I got E. coli and salmonella. So I've pretty much been healing the past like 6 years of my life from all of that trauma in my gut. And that's why I just am very sensitive to stuff. And when I tell you guys my experience with stuff, like for instance, dairy really does affect my gut. it's not that way for everyone. For some people, dairy is amazing for you and your body functions really properly with dairy. So I just know for me, that is one of my triggers. And then artificial sweeteners like fake sucralose, aspartame, I think is how you say it. Certain sweeteners like that. There's just so many little things that I know in my head, okay, this is probably not going to make me feel the best. So in my self-reflection, I'll think back and say like, did I have something where I knew I wasn't going to feel good and I chose to have it anyways. And then I was miserable at this social function. Okay, let me sit here with that, learn from it and think, okay, and the next time I'm presented with the opportunity to have that, do I want this feeling again? And maybe sometimes it's worth it to have the treat and feel that way. But I think self-reflection in that way for me is just knowing that I want to feel my best at all times. Like that is my goal. So thinking back and learning from maybe like what was worth it and what wasn't worth it for nutrition, I guess. Another one is definitely with relationships. So having a husband, I consistently think back at maybe times that I was a little bit snappy or sassy and think like, okay, what actually led me to speak to my sweet husband that way? What triggered in my mind that made me become defensive in the way that I snapped when I really shouldn't have? Little things like that. So that's a huge part of my self-reflection, and it has really helped us grow as a couple too, and learning how each other communicate, our communication styles, and how we receive feedback from each other and how our responses are. For instance, I might be very sensitive towards certain ways that Lucas would respond to me. And then if I responded that same way to him, he wouldn't think anything of it. And he's not sensitive in that way. So we just have to learn and reflect on like, ooh, this didn't make me feel good. Let's talk about it, and vice versa. And that's been really cool to grow from that self-reflection too. And I always say in relationships, especially what I've learned in marriage, is you learn a lot more about yourself if you do that self-reflection, because anything that gets you to snap or to become defensive or to feel hurt or offended is usually something that's going on in you first. I know this is not the case all the time, but I'm talking generally in like a normal, healthy relationship. If something is brought up that I immediately get defensive, that's an opportunity for me to dive deep and say, why does that make me defensive? Do I need to heal something from my future? I mean, not my future, my past self that maybe was offended in this way. So that's really cool to learn about yourself and that self-reflection too. Another huge part of self-reflection is learning to admit when you make a mistake or you are wrong in something, and apologize sincerely. So this can be really hard for some people. I know it was really hard for me for years to admit when I was wrong, because by admitting that you're wrong and saying that you're sorry, that means now that you have to change. Because if you don't change, then were you really sorry, or were you just saying that to like get out of it, you know? And I realized that early on, especially in marriage, like if I'm going to admit I'm wrong and say that I'm sorry, then an action has to follow that. So I think a lot of people don't want to admit that they're wrong or want to fight it when something gets brought up and choose not to try to understand the other person's perspective, because they know that if they let that guard down and admit like, maybe I shouldn't have said that thing or done that thing, then that breeds change that needs to happen in their life. And maybe they're not ready for it. Maybe they're scared of that change. Maybe they don't want to put in the work. But I think in self-reflection, you can really sit and just think back on whether it's a conversation or an action or something in your work life, whatever it is, times that you've made a mistake, and how did you respond to that mistake? Did you own up to it, apologize, and change? Or did you get defensive and try to stand your grounds and fight back because you didn't want that change? And I think that's a huge conversation to have with yourself, is how you handle your mistakes in life, because you can see them as negative or you can choose to see them as a beautiful opportunity to grow as a person and to take on that change headstrong. And I think a lot of times in relationships and friendships, the other person knows that you're human and you're going to make mistakes. So I think where a lot of conflict happens is not so much in the actual mistake, if we're talking just like small things, pretty much like forgetting to take out the trash or leaving something on the, like little things I'm talking about, but people know that you're going to make mistakes and forget stuff sometimes and do things wrong every once in a while. And they know that you're human, but it's where that like defensive mechanism comes in that brings up a lot of conflict. It's like, you know that you did something wrong and you know that this maybe hurt my feelings, but why can't you admit that? Like, why can't you just own up to it? So I think allowing any little mistake to invite you into a change of course and to an opportunity to grow is a great way to look at it. And then last little sub point I want to say on reflection, self-reflection, is to take inventory of the habits that you are entertaining in your life, your thoughts, your actions, your thought patterns, all of that, that you're entertaining on the daily. Take inventory of them frequently and decide if they are serving you or if they are not serving you, and be committed to make a change if they're not. It is so surprising how the smallest of habits can have such a massive impact because they pick up momentum as you carry them on. For instance, if my habit is I am going to leave my desk very cluttered and I'm just going to leave dishes and water bottles on it and not really pick up after it, and it's a bad habit of mine that I don't keep it clean, that might affect my work life. I might feel scattered. I might forget meetings. I might feel uninspired and uncreative, therefore not show up to my work in the best way that I can. And then when I show up in a way that I know is not my best potential, that might put me in a bad mood and spiral me to think like I'm not performing well enough. I am not proud of myself. I don't feel confident in myself. And then that might lead into my relationship. Okay, I don't feel confident in myself, so I'm going to look for confidence and affirmation from you. And then if you're having a bad day and don't give it to me, now I'm mad at you and I'm mad at myself and my work's mad at me. And you see how just like the smallest habit over time can potentially lead to so much more. So I think it's easy to overlook little habits, but if you have this idea of how you want to show up as the best version of yourself, I think how you get to that is by maintaining good, healthy habits and eliminating habits that don't serve that version of you. All right, moving on to point number three, and that is to ditch the victim mentality or the victim mindset. Oh, this is a tough one. And I also want to be really sensitive about this one because I know we all go through super hard things. Some of us get dealt cards that are way harder than the others. And I hope and pray that my words don't feel like I'm discrediting you or being insensitive to you if you are going through something that is extremely difficult right now and you feel like you are stuck in a victim mindset because of it. If you're listening and that's you, I just hope and pray that you can hear my heart and know that these words are coming from a place that I just want to help anybody out there that is living in a victim mindset and wants to feel better and grow and evolve out of that. So whether you're walking through something extremely painful and challenging, or if you're just in a very subtle victim mindset of like, I don't feel happy during the day, let me blame X, Y, and Z because of that. Whatever side of like that spectrum you're on, I just hope that these words can kind of pull you out of that and give you a fresh perspective to see the world around you and see how you can really change your thought patterns to pull you out of that and spur you into something so much more beautiful. I'll start with just a personal experience. In high school, my parents got divorced when I was a sophomore in high school. And I think I sat in the victim mindset in the blame game for so many years after that. And even before that, like the years before the divorce, I always say are honestly the hardest because it was like constant fighting and confusion and hurt. And then I guess once the divorce actually happened, it was kind of like we can breathe, like something is changing now. But anyways, I think as a high schooler, I really did live in that victim mentality for so long and kind of put the blame on my parents a little bit. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, is I was looking to them to fill this void and to bring me joy and contentment and happiness in my life. And when they're going through probably the hardest thing they've ever gone through, I'm looking at them and thinking in my head, well, why are you doing this to me? Like, why are you not there for me in this time? And that really just isn't fair of me. And that was me living in that victim mentality because I looked to them to fill a void that they were never fully meant to fill, especially when they're also going through something so hard and challenging. And I think it's tricky because obviously as you're growing up from an infant, as you're growing up, your parents are the providers and your safety and your security, and they are fully there for you. But then as you transition into your own little adult, like your own adult life, you kind of release them from that responsibility. And that's when it's crucial for you to learn how to be okay on your own and how to be content on your own. So I remember blaming and thinking, well, if I don't do good in my classes, it's because I stayed up like during a fight at home, or if I'm not being a good friend and showing up for my friends in the best way, it's because I'm just so drained and whatever. And then if I'm not spending enough time with my boyfriend in high school and he's mad about that, it's because I'm secretly just scared of getting close to anyone. And so I found every little excuse for anything that was going on in my life of how to blame and trace back to what was going on in my family. And that right there is a victim mindset. And that can be in high school, or that can be carried into whatever circumstance, but finding something or someone to blame for whatever is going on in your life, when yes, that might actually have a huge impact on you and affect you, but at the end of the day, it's your choice to grow from it, learn from it, and make a decision to not actually allow it to affect every other area of your life in a negative way. And that's really, really hard. And I'm not saying you can just totally cut out some things and say like, oh, I'm just gonna forget about that and go on with my way. Like, that's definitely not what I'm saying. And especially, like, again, being sensitive to everyone's circumstance, there's some things that have a huge, massive impact on you that take years and years of therapy to get better and to be able to function properly. And then there's some things that are much simpler that you can kind of just step away from, in a sense, and decide, like, I'm not going to let that affect me. I'm going to do my own thing now. I think for me, like, the whole family thing was kind of somewhere in the middle. It did have a massive impact on me, but at the same time, it was something that I knew deep down, like, yes, this is really affecting me, but I don't have to let it control me for the rest of my life. I can learn from this and grow from this and make decisions going forward that don't reflect my fear and my hurt from this situation, but actually reflect what I want for the future version of me and my life. Because to sit in hurt and to sit in pain and to sit in something that is extremely hard, no matter what it is, and not get the help that you know you need and you deserve and decide to grow from it, then ultimately you're kind of sitting and choosing self-sabotage. Because we as humans, every single one of you listening, myself, everyone out there, as a human being, is extremely resilient, and we can, in quotes, like, bounce back from anything. It might take time, it might take a lot of effort, but you can choose to grow from anything and to get better and to go after the life that you know you truly want and deserve. Okay, another one recently that I can kind of out myself here that I've caught myself saying before and had to stop myself and realize, like, you're playing the blame game still, is talking about the food system in America. And I've caught myself in so many conversations where I'm just like, ugh, you know, of course, like, no wonder we're all sick and all these diseases are happening because our food sucks so bad in America. And although I do believe that is valid, which might be a little bit controversial, but I do believe that from my experiences in traveling to Europe and other countries, we do have a pretty messed up food system here. And just in terms of all the crap that our food system gets away with adding into our food. But despite of what is true and what I believe, I can still find a way to rise above that. And I found myself just blaming it and letting it be and kind of sitting in like a, oh, woe is me or woe is us. Like, we live in America, so our food sucks. And that's not cool of me. Like, if I'm going to come on here and talk about taking responsibility for yourself, I want to live like that too. So recently I've been really making an effort to make a lot of my food at home, to do my research on like what different restaurants and companies use in their food. For me, things like seed oils or MSGs or any type of toxic like colors or preservatives, those things kind of matter to me a lot. And I know this might sound foreign and crazy to some people, but that's just one of those things that I do actually really care about in my food. So instead of sitting in a woe is me mindset and blaming the food system, I can adapt outside of that and find a way that works for me. And it might be annoying, it might take more time to cook at home or to avoid certain restaurants, but I can adapt from that circumstance and find a way to honor what I truly want for myself and what I want for my life instead of sitting around and being mad about it and just blaming. And I kind of try to look at it with a challenge now. Okay, there are so many restaurants that use ingredients that don't really align with what I want to put into my body. So let me think of this as a fun little challenge to remake that you know, Chick-fil-A sandwich and make it in a way that does align with what I want to put into my body and make it fun and make it like a little challenge. So I don't know, finding ways that you can ditch the blame game and instead turn it into some challenge to rise above it and to actually benefit from whatever problem you're trying to solve. I think this is very relatable with working out too. I've heard so many times, and I know I've said this myself in the past too, I don't have a friend or a partner that wants to work out with me. They just want to watch TV or they just want to go out and do this, but nobody wants to work out with me. So I guess I'm just not going to work out. That is a very easy blame game to play because it is hard to get motivated to go to the gym by yourself sometimes. But is it impossible? No. So if that's what you really want for yourself, don't let the absence of other people affect what you want for yourself and go to the gym by yourself and do the thing until you find somebody that you can invite as a partner or until you go so consistently that now you feel so comfortable going by yourself and you actually love it. And it's like a little form of self-care. I think it really just comes down to a mindset shift here and to realizing that sometimes you're not going to want to do something or it's going to feel uncomfortable or it's going to feel foreign. But if you just push through to get to the other side that you know is the side you want to be on, it's so worth it. And I forgot who said it, but there's a quote that said, it's so much easier to blame than it is to work towards change. And that could not be more true and more relatable to this episode. It is so much easier to place the blame on someone and sit in your sadness or sit in whatever mood and just accept that than it is to say, yeah, this happened, but actually I have the responsibility to change my life going forward. So that's what this is all about. Ditch the blame game, ditch the victim mindset, and start taking responsibility for your own happiness and your own life because you are so incredibly worth that. That kind of leads me into point number four, and that is to keep commitments to yourself and to others. So once you decide that you're not going to play the blame game anymore and you're going to take responsibility and you're going to start taking actions towards the future you or the you that you really want to step into, that first step is amazing in choosing that, but now you got to keep the commitments to yourself. And why that's so important is because when you make a commitment and you do it for a little bit and then you fall off, it's so much harder, one, to start it back up. But two, it creates these negative thought patterns and pathways in your brain of, oh, I failed at that, or, oh, I gave up on myself. And the more that you reinforce that pattern, it can really affect the way you view yourself, the way you think about yourself. It can mess with your self-esteem, your self-confidence, and it ultimately just tells you, I don't know if I can rely on myself because I have fallen off of commitments before. And I don't know if when I say something, I'm really going to do it. And flip it the other way. If you make a commitment and you show up for yourself day after day and reach that goal or do the thing that you said you were going to do and succeed at those little milestones and markers along the way towards your goals, that is going to create really positive reinforcement and positive pathways and patterns in your brain that keep reinforcing that behavior. I've been reading a book called The Seven Pillars of Self-Esteem, and this is kind of what I'm learning about right now. And you guys, it is so, so good. I definitely recommend it to everyone. I think I talked about it on the last podcast too, but I'm really taking my time with it and slowly digesting each chapter, and it is just blowing my mind. And on the matter of goals and commitments, I do just want to say it's also so important to create a healthy balance of working towards your goals and having ambitious goals and striving for that, but also being grateful for right where you are and being able to be content in the present moment as well. I think life is a constant battle of those things because I think having not a constant battle, a constant balance of those things, a beautiful balance. But I think having goals and having ambitions is a really positive thing, and it helps you to be in continuous growth as a human, which I think is really healthy. But I don't think your goals and ambitions should ever fully take you out of the present moment either. I think I always want to be so grateful for right where I am and so able to enjoy the present moment and enjoy the people I'm around and really get the fullness out of the present moment without being totally distracted by my goals. But I think there's a time and place for sitting down and working hard on something because you have something to look forward to in the future as well. Gratitude is so important. I know it's cliche. I know everyone talks about it, but taking responsibility for your life, I think a huge part of that is realizing that you have the privilege and the opportunity to be grateful in every moment, despite the circumstances, that you can always look for the good in things, that you can always look for the hope and the light in things, no matter what's going on in your outer world, and cultivating that mindset of no matter what, I am going to focus on the good and I'm going to try to see the positive in any experience. That is the key to taking responsibility of your life, or at least one of the keys. That's a huge one. Okay. And the fifth and last point that I have for you guys is to decide who you want to be before any of the outside opinions and noise take over and decide that for you. And this might actually look like a relearning and a decision that you have to reformulate, I guess, because maybe you're listening and you're like, well, actually, I don't really know who I want to be because I have just been focusing on what everyone else wants me to be already. And that's okay. You can always start over that mindset and really sit with yourself and think, okay, let's clear my mind for a second, get all this noise out, get all the opinions of others out. And who at my core do I want to be as a person? What do I want my day to actually look like? What do I want my goals to be? What do I want to work towards? Who do I want to be surrounded by? Like, truly, what do I want out of this life? And then you can kind of reintroduce yourself and reinvent yourself anytime you want to. The reason why I think this one is so important in taking responsibility for your life is because if you walk through life not really knowing who you are or who you want to be, what your morals and your guiding beliefs and everything, what those things are, you will be swayed by every other opinion, every other person, every other trend, and you'll walk through with kind of a lack of purpose, I guess, because you don't really know who you are deeply to the core. And I think we need more people in this world that know who they are, know what their purpose and their passion for life is, and are actively striving towards that and seeking that and doing work in this world. I think we need more people that are kind of just alive to themselves and alive to passion, which when you are living like that, I think it brings you so much fulfillment too and allows you to really walk day by day with such a sense of purpose. So I really hope after this episode, you have just a little brainstorming sesh with yourself and think, who do I really want to be? Who am I at the core? What do I care about? What do I want to do every single day? What do I want to work towards? Who do I want to be around? All of those things that make you you. I hope that you can sit with yourself and really formulate those ideas and start showing up as that person. Because like I said, the world needs more of that, but also I know it will bring you so much fulfillment in yourself as well. And this is kind of hard because once you do sit down with yourself and really get real with yourself on this, you start to realize that maybe some of those opinions that you've been kind of living in, but they aren't really what you actually want for yourself, are coming from family members. Maybe they're coming from a relationship or a friend or your work, or things that are really hard to, I guess, change course from. It's tough when you know what your parents want for your life and you know it would make them happy, so you've been living that way, but it doesn't actually fulfill you. I know a huge thing for some people is like college or jobs. Like, your dad was a doctor, so therefore he really wants you to be a doctor. But when you think of being a doctor, you don't feel alive or feel excited about that at all. And you actually want to be an artist, or you want to be a lawyer, but that's not really the path they had for you. So I would just encourage anyone who is listening to just get real with yourself and think, no, what do I actually want outside of all the noise of everyone else? Even if it's people that I love and trust and admire, you gotta get real with yourself, because no one, no other human on this earth knows you like you do. And that is such a beautiful thing, because that just shows why you actually have the full responsibility of your life and of your happiness and of your well-being, is because no one knows your desires and your heart and your passions like you do. So that wraps up this episode, you guys. I know it was a short one, but I just really wanted to get this thought out there to you guys, and I hope that it touches someone out there. I hope you can take something from this and go apply it to your own life. And I hope you take this week to really think about how you can start taking more responsibility of your life, getting to know yourself more, and becoming that highest version of you.